Thanks, Jeff. Good morning. Awesome service already today. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, we are going to continue the series that Pastor Tim started this last week called First Things First. And I'm excited because today what we really want to do in a few minutes is basically set aside a good portion of the service for a time of commissioning, anointing commissioning. And we're just going to give an opportunity for everyone that wants to receive a touch of prayer this morning to do that and receive empowerment for this year. And I'll be talking a little bit more about that as we go on. But I'm excited because I believe that as we get things right in 2009, what better time to start the year outright than right at the beginning of the year and say, God, I'm going to pursue you first, and I'm going to pursue your kingdom first, and we're going to look for you. And when we do that, he always meets us. So in just a moment, I'll begin to talk about First Things First. But before we do that, I just want to mention that yesterday morning, Saturday morning at 8 a.m., there was a few chosen frozen people, a number of chosen frozen people that met for our prayer event yesterday morning at 8, all across Hanford, in four locations in Hanford and also in Armona and Lemoore. There was a number of people that came out, and we prayed together, believing God for his victory this year and asking God for his blessing on this county and on these cities and on our schools and a whole host of things that we prayed for about 45 minutes to an hour. And my first prayer of the morning, because when I drove there, my car said it was 32 degrees. And as I stood there, I could feel my feet freezing to the concrete. And so my first prayer of the morning was, Lord, touch my ears, because my ears were freezing. I didn't have a hat on. And my last prayer was, Lord, touch my feet, because my toes had fallen asleep. But we had just a wonderful time of prayer, starting the year out right, asking for God's favor. Afterwards, we came back here to the church at 9, had a great pancake breakfast, pancakes and sausage and eggs, and just spent some time fellowshipping together. And we're going to do that a number of times this year, and about three other times. We're going to do one each quarter. The next time we're going to pray together is April, I believe it's the 4th, the first Saturday in April. And so you might just kind of put that in the back of your mind, jot it on your calendar, because it's just a wonderful time of getting together, and God shows up, you get to fellowship with other people, and we just declare that he's the king of this county. And what I want to do is just take a moment right now and have us agree with all those prayers that were offered up yesterday. So why don't you just grab the hand of the person next to you, and just in a sense of solidarity and agreement. Lord Jesus, as we grab the hand of the person next to us, we just agree with all those prayers, and we declare that you are the King of Kings County. We declare that you're the Lord of this city, Lord. You're the Lord of Lemoore and of Armona and of Layton, of Riverdale, of Avenal, of all of Cork and all the surrounding cities, God. You're the Lord of this place, and this is your territory, God. And we declare that you will raise up a standard and that your kingdom will be established in this place. And Father, we pray against every spirit of darkness that would attempt to blind eyes and would keep people in chains of addiction and would keep the economy depressed. And God, we just declare that you're a God of liberty and of freedom. You're a God of blessing. And we just break into the heavenlies right now in the name of Jesus and ask that your blessing would come and that your life would flow, that people would wake up and that they would desire to be in your house. They would see you for who you are and the way that you love them. Do an awesome thing in 2009, God. Break in upon us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen, amen. If I could have the ushers come forward, we've got Bibles this morning, and as Pastor Jeff said, Tim is not feeling well today, and so I'm stepping in for him, and so I've got his PowerPoint, and so not all the verses, we've got a couple of verses that we'll talk, not all the verses are on the PowerPoint, so if I could have the ushers come forward, we've got some Bibles, and if you don't have a Bible this morning, you didn't bring yours, just raise your hand right now as they go back, they'll hand you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at home, you can take this Bible home. And this is our gift to you. We want everybody to have a Bible. We're using Bibles this year, being more intentional about that. I'll even tell you the page number the verse is on when we read it. And everybody that doesn't have one of these, you'll have to look it up for yourself, okay? So as they do that, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. The series that we're in is called First Things First. And this is the verse that really launches us for this series. And, and tells us exactly where we're at, because we're all about seeking God's kingdom first. So if you've got one of these Bibles, it's on page 673. 673. Won't work for anybody else. Let's read this together, and it's up on the screens if you don't have it, if you're still turning. It says this, read with me, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The very first thing in our life, the most important thing that we can ever do, is to put God's kingdom first. If we can get our priorities straight and align our priorities with his priority, with his kingdom, then we can be assured that everything else will fall into place. That section of scriptures there in chapter 6 is a section where it talks about Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, listen, you don't need to worry. You don't need to worry about what you're going to wear. You don't need to worry about what you're going to eat. You don't need to worry about your daily provision, because I am going to take care of everything as long as you put my purposes first. The way that we put God's kingdom first is that we align our priorities with his priorities, where we decide that, you know what, I am going to put the things of eternal consequence first in my life, and then everything else will take care of itself. You know, so oftentimes we worry about daily provision. We're concerned about whether or not we're going to have enough for tomorrow. We're concerned about supplying the needs of our family. We're concerned about whether or not we're going to have a job tomorrow in the economy that we're surrounded by. And we worry, and we waste energy worrying, because what does worry do? And it doesn't do any good at all. There is nothing that it does other than make you anxious and tear you up inside. And Jesus says, if you'll seek me first, you don't have to worry. If you seek me first, I'll take care of all the rest. And so this year, in 2009, as we start this year, there's no better way to start the year out than to say, I'm going to seek God, your kingdom first. I'm going to believe what your word says, that it says, if I put you first, everything else will fall into place. Now, the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of this world. And we have already been talking about the kingdom. Pastor Jeff was talking about the kingdom during transition. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says that the kingdoms of this world are not the kingdom of our God. That there is something that's very different about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is upside down very many times from what the kingdom of this world is. Now, what is a kingdom? A kingdom is, I looked up the definition of a kingdom, and it's basically this. It's a political area or a territory that is ruled by a sovereign. And so there are many kingdoms in this world. Pastor Tim, last week, if you were here with us, talked about traveling to a different country, to a different kingdom. And oftentimes when we go to a different country, we know we're in a different country because kingdoms are characterized by really three things. They're characterized by a different economy, a different language, and a different culture. And I believe that that's in your notes, a different economy, a different culture, and a different language. And everywhere you go that is a place other than the United States, very often you will find that they speak a different language, that their money looks different. Oftentimes it kind of looks like funny money, right? It looks like the money that you play with Monopoly. And that the way they do things, that is the culture, is completely different. And they're, let's see, I said economy, I said language. What's the other one? Culture. All right, I said them all. That it's very different. Now, I was thinking about this last week when Pastor Tim was talking about kingdoms, and what came to me was the Magic Kingdom. Anybody ever been to the Magic Kingdom? Right. Now, the Magic Kingdom is in fact a kingdom, right? It is an area. It is a geography that's set apart, and it has different rules, and it has different money. Have you noticed the economy is different in the Magic Kingdom? Everything in the Magic Kingdom costs twice as much as anywhere else. Isn't that the truth? Two or three times, yeah. That there's a different language in the Magic Kingdom. They talk about things like Fast Pass, and talk about things like characters and Mickey Mouse, and even the Magic Kingdom language has filtered into our cultural language. We talk about things being Mickey Mouse, you know. Ah, that's Mickey Mouse, right? And there's a different culture in the Magic Kingdom. In the Magic Kingdom, what do they say about it? It's the happiest place on earth, right? And so everybody walks around smiling and just happy. and just having a wonderful time. At least that's what they want you to believe, right? If you've ever been there with a three-year-old, you know it could be the most miserable place on earth. But that's, you know, it's a kingdom, and because it's a kingdom, it has these three things. And every kingdom does. Every kingdom does. And God's kingdom also has an economy. And the truth is that God's economy is very different from the world's economy. It's very different from our economy. It's opposed to our economy. In God's economy, it is all about giving. It is all about releasing. When you give is when you receive in God's economy. See, in our economy, we've got to hoard, right? The idea is that you collect and you keep and you gain and you buy and you acquire and you work hard, and therefore you will build your little kingdom with a little K in this economy. But God's economy, Jesus says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, running over. See, giving is the rule in God's economy. In Psalms 50, it says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. See, in God's economy, his resources are far greater than any resources that one might have on the earth. There is no limit to God's resources. And so we don't have to worry about having, because Papa's got it all. And anything that we need, as long as we are living in his economy, it is sufficient for us. We will have what we need if we are in line with his economy. There is an economy of heaven that if we are in the kingdom of God, we will enjoy. We will enjoy. But so oftentimes, because we are not seeking his kingdom first, because we haven't figured out how to get those priorities straight, we don't experience the flow of the economy of God. See, in God's economy is not bothered by the recession today. God's economy is not bothered by the depression of today, because God's people in his economy are going to be okay, because he takes care of his people. And so there's a different economy in God's economy. There's also a different culture, and culture is simply the way that things are done. This last week, I attended a funeral. Actually, was very honored to take part of a funeral here on Friday for a very dear woman, a member of our congregation, Ella Williams, who went on to be with Jesus. And she was an African-American lady, and if you've ever been to an African-American funeral, if you're a tidy-whitey like me, and you've ever been to an African-American funeral, you know that they are different. They're different. There is a different culture there. And Pastor Charles, who was on staff with us for many years, would tell me, he said, "Andrew, my people do it differently. We do funerals differently." And it's such a joy to be at a service that's different. And there's a little bit more activity, a little more noise, right? You know, us white people, we're all tense, and everything's got to be clinical and clean, and nobody should boo-hoo, you know, nobody should move, and the service has got to be real short, because, you know, everybody's got somewhere to go, you know, and so it's just very different, and there's just a different sense in the culture. There's a different sense, and it was just a joy to be a part of that. And have you noticed that there are different cultures in the world, and they're wonderful, and God's culture is different. The way he does things are different than the way that things are done in the world. In God's culture, in the way that he does things, have you heard the first will be last and the last will be first? Have you heard that who is going to be greatest among you will be your servant? Servant. See, it's all upside down in God's economy. If you want to be successful, you serve. If you want to be great, you get down with a towel and you wash people's feet. There's a different way that it is done in his culture. In God's culture, we walk by faith and not by sight. Everything in God's kingdom is done by faith. Everything in God's kingdom is done by trusting him. See, but the place that we live in, the kingdom that we see with our physical eyes is all about seeing first, isn't it? It's all about, oh, I'll trust you if I see it. I won't believe it until I see it. And God's culture, God's kingdom is all about faith. And trusting in him, believing that what he says is true, and then you see. In God's culture, I think it's interesting that calling trumps education. And this throws us off sometimes in churches. And I've had people even in Koinonia be disturbed, because they'll see someone come into leadership in Koinonia or in a church, and they get an attitude because they say, well, you know, they didn't jump through the right hoops. They don't have the right education. They don't have the right pedigree. What are they doing in leadership? And the truth is God is the one who calls and appoints. He's the one that decides. He's the one that gifts. Doesn't matter whether you got a degree. Doesn't matter what kind of education you have. See, he's the one. And that messes everybody up. Because in the world, you go through certain hoops. And if you've got the degrees after your name, then you're big stuff. In God's culture, it don't mean nothing, right? Because it's all about the heart. So things are different in God's culture. And finally, of course, there's a different language. Different language. Every culture, every subculture has a different language. There's subcultures even within our larger culture. If you're part of for example, the computer culture, if you're into web design, then there's all kinds of terms that are used that maybe not be familiar to everyone else. And, you know, talk about HTML and CSS and SOAP and AJAX and XHTML and all this stuff that just doesn't mean anything. If you're in the military, or if you've been around the military, you know they've got, you know, these abbreviations for everything. And it's just, if you're sitting with someone and they start, you know, talking about, you don't even, it's like they're talking a different language. Because they have a different language, because there is a language, and God's kingdom has a language. And it's different than the language of the world. Now, I'm not just talking about the terms that we use, although that's part of it, right? There are terms that we use that maybe don't mean a whole lot to the rest of the world. We talk, you know, PTL, praise the Lord, right? Hallelujah, you know, amen, brother, you know, good to see you, praise the Lord. And we can use the jargon, but, you know, things like, for example, washed in the blood. Someone comes into church maybe for the first time in their life. They're not familiar with the Bible. They're not familiar with the background of the Old Testament. And we say, well, you brother, you just need to be washed in the blood. Doesn't that sound just gross? I mean, who wants to be washed in some blood? And it's because we have a different understanding. And so there's got to be an explanation. And you know, okay, this is why you want to be washed in the blood. And they go, okay, we'll see about that. But there's a different language that we have. And the truth is that when we are in God's kingdom, he does something to our mouth. He does something to our tongue. It's really a heart thing. It's not just in the vocabulary we use, but there's a change in our heart that what flows out of us is love instead of hate and bitterness. It's instead of judgment, we find compassion and we find peace. And there's a great story in Wales about 150 years ago. There was a revival, and it happened amongst a number of coal miners in Wales. That in that day, the coal miners pulled the coal out of the mines with horses, a horse and cart. And after the revival, what happened was these men who were just salt of the earth, blue collar guys, they got saved. They were transformed, and God touched their mouth, and suddenly the horses had to be retrained because they didn't know what to do anymore because they were nice to them. Instead of yelling and swearing at them, come on, get up, their mouth had been exercised of all of the language, because when in God's kingdom, there's a different language that happens. And there's a regeneration that happens, and there's a life that happens there. And we want to be a part of his kingdom. We want to be a part of God's. In God's kingdom, the language is a language of faith. It's a language of trust. It's a language of peace. It's a language of seeing beyond, right? It's a language of the impossible. Everything is possible with God. We talk about that because we believe that God can do the miraculous. See, but the world doesn't believe that. And so the language reflects it. And so you know a kingdom person when you begin to hear them speak faith. And they begin to talk to you about what is possible in your situation. They begin to see that you have gifts and abilities inside of you that maybe you don't even realize, but they begin to speak to you faith that says, you know what, you can. With God, you can. You can overcome this situation. You don't have to live in depression. You don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to be. See, that's the language of faith. That's the language of the kingdom. Now, how do we get in the kingdom? It's very simple. right? It's very simple. And if you're following your notes, there's just three blanks there, and I'll just give you the answers. So for those of you that like to fill in the blanks, we make sure that we get those covered, because I don't want anybody blaming me for not filling in all the blanks. But the kingdom is, there's three dimensions to the kingdom. And first of all, we have to enter the kingdom. Next, we have to experience the kingdom. And thirdly, we have to expand the kingdom. We enter, we experience, and we expand. And there are three dimensions of the kingdom that we don't have to experience them all. And the truth is that many of us never actually fully enter into all three dimensions of the kingdom. The very first dimension, of course, is that you first must enter. First must enter. If you got your Bible, just pull that out and turn to John chapter 3, verse 3. It's on page 737. 3:3, John 3:3. And this is Jesus, and he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus has come to him. Nicodemus is a scholar. He's a Pharisee. He's a Jew that has studied the Word, the Scripture. He knows God. He loves God. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and he asks him, you know, tell me about God. Tell me about the kingdom. This is what Jesus says in verse 3. He says, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, the very first step is that you have to be born. You have to be born into the kingdom. Now, there is a physical birth that we experience. There's no one here this morning that was born. I'm sorry, there's no one here this morning that was not born. You came into the world through the birth canal, right? You were born, and just as you were born physically, Jesus says you have to be born spiritually. And he says that when you come and are born spiritually, that you become a new creature, that there is a regeneration that happens inside of you. There's a transformation because of his Holy Spirit, that you cease to become the person that you were, and you become a new person. Now, it's not that he erases all of your problems. It's not that he makes you look, you know, different. He doesn't regrow your hair usually. Right? There's some of us that, you know, wouldn't mind that. It's not that he takes, you know, all your warts away and makes you into a supermodel. But he changes us on the inside. He transforms us into a new creature. And we have to be born again in order to enter the kingdom. Oftentimes, that's where people stop. They come to a point, and they know they need to enter the kingdom, but they never go beyond that. They make the decision, and for many, it's kind of a fire insurance, and some of you may have grown up in a church where they taught, you know, about fire and brimstone so heavily that, boy, you better, you raise your hand because you didn't want to get burned just in case the hell was real. I better get me some fire insurance to make sure that I don't burn after I die. But if that's all you do, then all you have done is entered. All you have done is been born, but don't you know that after you're born, you have to learn how to eat. You have to learn how to clothe yourself, and you have to mature in your faith. But sometimes all we do is we're born. But you must be born, right? If you're not born, then nothing else is going to happen. And I just want to just pause just for a very brief moment. And this morning, there's some of us that need to be born for the very first time, that we need to come into the kingdom. And we're talking about the kingdom this morning. We're talking about how it has a different language and a different culture, a different economy. But you're not part of that kingdom. You've never made that decision for the very first time to make Jesus the leader of your life and say, God, come in and inside my heart and transform me, make me into a new creature. And now is that opportunity. No better time than right now to do that. Let's just pause a moment. Why don't you just bow your head very quickly? And I just want to say, if you're here this morning and you hear me talking, and you know that God is knocking on the door of your heart, and you know that you want to be a new creature this morning, you've never made that decision. You might have been in church many, many years, or this is your first time, but you're saying, no, today I'm going to make a decision for the very first time to be born and to come into his kingdom. If that's you, just raise your hand. Just between you and me. Are you here this morning? You need to make that decision. Raise your hand high so I can see it. For the very first time, you're making the decision to be born. Yes, I see those hands. Lord, for every hand that is raised this morning, that desires to enter into your kingdom, Lord, as a symbol, as they raise their hand, they're saying to you, God, I'm making you the leader of my life. I'm going to decide to do things differently, not under my own power anymore. Everything that I have done has just not yielded good fruit. But now, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. Lord, for every hand, make them into a new creature today. Birth your life inside of them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, birth is the first step, but after that, you have to begin to experience, right? After that, you have to begin to live day by day the life of a believer. Because, see, when you're born, the way that you're regenerated, what Jesus does is he sends his Holy Spirit inside of you and he regenerates you, but unless you day by day decide to live by his Spirit, you will never truly experience his kingdom. Look at this in Romans 14 is the last verse that we'll look at. Romans chapter 14. Somebody help me with the page number. 789. Romans chapter 14. Verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, it's very key how it says in the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit. See, because the kingdom of God, we only experience the kingdom of God if we are in his Holy Spirit. If we are letting his Holy Spirit lead us and direct us. See, the truth is that when you are born into his kingdom, he gives you his Holy Spirit. He comes and he sets up residence inside of you. He makes you a new creature. You become his temple. And he begins to speak to you. And he begins to help you realign your priorities. See, he's the one that begins to change your language. He's the one that begins to knock on the door of your heart and say, you know, you need to do your money differently. He's the one that says, I want to give you giftings and abilities, but you're going to have to step out in faith. He's the one that does that. And it's, see, we experience the kingdom to the degree that we walk in his Spirit, to the degree that we listen to his voice, to the degree that we step out in faith. And it says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And this morning, the kingdom is characterized by righteousness, peace, and joy. Do you have peace this morning? Do you have peace in your heart? Do you have peace in your emotions? See, sometimes we are part of the kingdom, but we don't experience the kingdom. See, sometimes we find ourselves worrying, and we get ourselves into a quiet place, and we try to even quiet our physical body, and we just feel anxious. You know what I'm talking about? You get yourself to a place and you turn everything off, you turn the TV off, you turn the radio off, and you try to get quiet and you just don't feel at ease. It just, something that's on you. So that's not God's peace. Right? That's not experiencing God's peace. And what God says is I want you to experience my peace. I want you to experience my peace. See, he says, peace I give you. My peace I leave you. And oftentimes we don't live in his peace. We live in a lot of other stuff. We live in worry and we live in anxiety. We live in anger. We live in bitterness. We live in fear of what's going to happen tomorrow. We live in sickness. We live in all kinds of stuff, but oftentimes we don't experience his peace. And what the Holy Spirit wants to do is give you his peace. He wants you, and how do you get it? Well, you get it by his Holy Spirit. You get it by living day by day this Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm worried, but you know what? I'm not going to worry. I'm going to trust. Lord, I'm afraid, but you know what? I'm not going to be fear. By the power of your Spirit, I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to live in fear. See, now, as we combine our will with his will, then he does something dynamic. Righteous peace and joy. Joy that goes beyond every circumstance. Joy that's not determined by how much money is in the bank or what the job situation is or anything else. There's a joy that supersedes all those things. We experience it only when we experience him. Now, this morning, what we want to do is basically just take the next few moments of service, and there's about 20 minutes left in our service, so I don't want to get anybody get nervous or anxious, or we're not going anywhere for a little while, and we've got plenty of time. But what I want to do is basically just have a time when we're going to impart the kingdom, the impartation of the kingdom, the impartation of his Holy Spirit to you. So there's no better way to start out 2009 than to say, Lord, I want your kingdom. I want to pursue your kingdom. I want to pursue your righteousness, your peace, and your joy. And so today, I'm making that decision to put first things first. Today, I'm making that decision to pursue your righteousness, to pursue your peace. And see, as you do that, then God's going to come, and he's going to bring you his Holy Spirit, and every day he's going to empower you if we allow him to. And so in just a moment, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up here, and we're going to give an opportunity. I'm going to call up on a number of groups of people to come up to just receive an impartation. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to anoint you with oil. We're not going to pray with you for very long because we've got lots of people here. And my desire, my hope would be that every single person here that desires to receive a touch today would receive a touch. Because I believe that God has for you a new breathing of his Holy Spirit. He's got a new touch of his power. And he's going to empower you in 2009. Last night I was thinking about this, and I just felt like God gave me this for Koinonia and for all of us, that in 2009, this year is going to be a year of victory and not of defeat, of blessing and not of curse, of life and not death. It's going to be a year of spiritual awakening and sensitivity. It will be a year of new challenges and of stretching. But in him you will find victory and growth. The key is that you must lean on my Holy Spirit for his strength rather than doing things out of your strength. Your strength. So if I could just have the prayer teams come up, any elders, any pastors, if you're part of the leadership community, if you would just come up and position yourselves to pray. And what we're going to do is just, and again, because of the amount of people here, we're not going to be able to spend a lot of time, prayer people, with each individual. And if you come and receive a touch and you want extended prayer time, then just, you know, receive a touch, go back to your seat, and then after the service, we'll stay here for as long as needed to pray for you for an extended period of time. But what we're going to ask is, as you come, is we're just going to say, Holy Spirit, fill this person. Empower them for 2009. Holy Spirit, you've called each and every person in Koinonia. You've given them an assignment. You have put them in the place that they're at so that your good works would be displayed in them. And so we're just going to release and invite his Holy Spirit to fill you. And all you have to do is come up and just receive. Say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Holy Spirit, I want you. I want to pursue the kingdom this year, so I'm asking you to fill me. That's all we're going to do. So the first group that I just want to minister to and want to call up and is those that are weak this morning, those that are broken this morning, those that are just feeling like you're not going to be able to be sick. It may be because you've been in a situation of emotional abuse and you've experienced things in your life where it just has drained you completely. And I've got a good word for you this morning, and that is that the Lord says that he who has a contrite spirit, a broken and contrite heart, he will not despise. He will not despise. And today, the Father has for you a special filling of his power. He has for you everything that you need to help you get through today. Everything that you need to help you get through tomorrow. Day by day, he's going to give you enough. And so if you're weak this morning and that just speaks to you, just begin to come up right now and come up to any one of these people right here, and they'll anoint you and they'll ask God for his filling inside of you. So Lord, for as they begin to come up, we just ask that you would fill every individual. Hallelujah. If you're in your seat still, just maybe just position yourself in a place of worship and of receptivity. You know, you just get comfortable. You might even put your hands in this way and just begin even just to pray and seek God right where you're at and say, now God, fill me even now. The second group I want to call on to come and receive are those that you know the Lord and you're following him and you're doing the things that you need to do, but you just know that you need a fresh filling. That you just, maybe you're in a desert time. You open his word and it just is not alive to you. You go through the motions because you know what it's right. It's the right thing to do. And yet you just don't sense him there. And this morning I just want to say to you, God has a fresh filling for you. God has a fresh filling for you. So if you need a new filling, if you're in ministry, you're a part of what's going on, you're pouring out, and you need him to touch you, just come up right now and receive that filling, that touch, that life from the Master that he desires to give. And guys, if there's any other leaders that can pray with people, please do come up and there's spots up here to pray, and we're going to need as many leaders as we can to pray for people. Thank you, Jesus. Next group I want to talk to is the young and the old. I'll let you define the categories there. But, you know, if you're a young person this morning, maybe 18 and under, if you're an old person, whatever that means to you, Acts chapter 2 says that your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And the way that that verse is written there really refers to both men and women, young men and women and old men and women. It's not just in the masculine. But young person, God wants to give you visions this morning. He wants to give you sight beyond the situation that you're in. The great thing about young people is that oftentimes they have vision. Oftentimes as a young person, we see what needs to be changed. We chafe at, you know, the way things are done. We just go, you know, mom, dad, then I don't know why they're doing it this way. Don't they know there's an easier way to do it? And oftentimes we've got vision, but we can, if we're not careful, despise those that are our elders and are older than us. And young person, if you're here this morning, I just want to invite you to come down and make a decision that God would give you His vision, that your vision would be submitted to His vision, and that He would fill you with what He has for you. And old person, sometimes when we're older, we get tired. Sometimes when we're older, we get pain in our physical body, or we get distracted by the things of life, and we stop dreaming. And Scripture says that He's going to give us dreams to dream. God has a dream for you. He's not finished with you. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't set you somewhere where you're of no use anymore. No, the truth is that His Spirit wants to give you dreams. He wants to fill you to the brim, fill you to the fullness of that life. And so if that's you this morning, just begin to come. Just begin to come and allow Him to fill you with His dreams, with His dreams. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we just continue to wait on You, God. We believe that You are here in this place. We know, God, that You are walking among us. We just ask You to fill with Your Spirit. To fill with Your Spirit. Next group I want to call is the widows, those that have lost their husbands. And there's a great story in the New Testament of Anna in the temple. It says Anna was a prophetess that was in the temple when they brought Jesus to be dedicated there in the temple. And she waited on the Lord, and she was diligent and prayed continually. And widows are just such a blessing. And in this house, in Koinonia, widows so many times serve and give and pray, and their ministry is so valued. And widows, we just want to pray for you this morning because you are valuable to the Lord. Because the prayers that you offer, the service that you give, the time that you yield up to the Lord is a blessing to Him. And He wants to empower you in this year in 2009. He wants to give you a fresh filling of His Spirit. Hey, I want to pray for moms this morning. If you're a mom here, I know there's some tired moms out there that are at the end of their rope, that are ready to kill their kids, that need a filling. You need grace. You need that compassion once again. You need that patience. You need that wisdom to deal with your kids. So moms, just begin to come forward. God has a new impartation for you. He has a new filling for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's one last group that I want to call on. And that is anyone that is hungry for spiritual things. If you haven't come up yet, or you haven't sort of had a category that you think fits you, this is a category that can fit anyone. You're desiring spiritual things. You're desiring more of His presence and His power in 2009. You don't want to miss out on what He has for you this year. This is when you want to come, because God's going to fill you. He's going to lead you in a new way. He's going to give you new empowerment. And let me just tell you that as you receive from Him, you're going to find that in this year, you're going to be a victor and not live in defeat. And in 2009, you're going to find victory in areas that you have never experienced before. You've never been able quite to overcome. There's been situations that have just plagued you and kept coming up again and again. It might be in a relationship. It might be a sin that you're dealing with. And God's going to give you a new power, a new anointing to be an overcomer this year. He's going to give you a new ability to be able to see beyond the blockages, beyond the challenges, and to see into what is possible in the future. Hallelujah. So just begin to come. Hallelujah. And as we do, we're just going to sing for a little while. I'm going to ask Sandy to lead us in a song and just continue to wait on His presence. We've got a few more minutes and I'll dismiss you at the right time. Don't worry. Let's continue to wait on God. Close the service in just a few moments, and we're going to continue to pray for people and continue to wait on God's presence, so you don't feel like you need to rush off anywhere. Might need to go get your kids, might be wise, but before we close, let me just pray once again. Would you just agree with me? Heavenly Father, we desire your kingdom in 2009. We want a new language in our mouth. We want faith and hope to characterize our speech. Lord, we commit to no longer speak words of judgment, to no longer speak curses, but instead to speak compassion and to speak life, that love would characterize who we are. Oh God, we commit this year that our economics would be given to you, our resources, everything that we have, Lord, that we would put it in line with you. Do what you will, Lord, not what we want, not what somebody else wants. God, we give ourselves to you, everything that we have to you, Lord. Every little bit that we have, God, you can take it and you can do something great out of it if we put it in your hands. Lord, we commit the way that we do things, the culture. We want the culture of the kingdom. Lord, kingdom people, they're just different. We want to be kingdom people that the fragrance of Jesus, the fragrance of his spirit would characterize who we are, that as we walk throughout our friends and family and doing the tasks that need to be done, the everyday stuff that is our life, God, that there would just be an aroma of freshness, an aroma of life to those that are lost, that they would just wake them up and they turn and they receive your life from us. God, just fill every single one that calls Koinonia home, Lord. Everyone that's looking to you, fill them afresh with your spirit this year. Pray these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be dismissed. You're welcome to stay as long as you want. We're going to continue to worship, continue to wait on his presence. If you still want to receive prayer, there's plenty of time for that. But go with God. God bless you. Just be sensitive to those that are up front here. And if you can, just take your conversation out into the lobby.
Cause nothing